answer the solution to meet every need. Father, I speak a breakthrough in every opposition, in every resistance. Command and release in every area of delay in your life. Tells me that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So if you believe you're righteous, what it tells me is he ordered your steps to this place this morning. Did anybody get it? So what that means is your being here is not a mistake. Your being here is not a coincidence. Your being here is not just one of those things. He actually ordered you here. Of all the places he could have ordered you to, he ordered you to this place. Of all the places he could have taken you, he brought you to this place. Of all the places you could have gone, he brought you here. Point number one. Point number two, your God is not random. He is methodical, precise, and deliberate. What that means is, if he ordered your steps here, he's brought you here for a reason and for a purpose, and it's not to have coffee either. So why people spend time in the kitchen, I don't know. Because he brought you up here for something else other than tea and scones. Thank God for scones, but they are not the purpose why he brought you here. Thank God for tea and coffee, but that's not the reason he brought you here. So the question I'll ask myself every morning, that you get a night to ask yourself every day you come here, Lord, you ordered my steps to this place. Why? Lord, you brought them to this place. It's my question. Why? You see, because you get a night to connect with the purposes of God. Right? You get to learn to connect with the purposes of God over your life. A lot of us are praying for breakthrough, but breakthrough only comes when we are in sync with the purposes of God. When does a breakthrough come? When you are in sync with the purposes of God. Because it is aligning ourselves with these purposes that releases us or ushers us into our destiny, that ushers us into the grand preparation of what is God for us. So the biggest activity of the devil is to get you out of sync with your purpose, get you out of sync with why God has you in any place or certain place. And the best way he does that is to agitate you, frustrate you, offend you. So that now your focus is distracted from the purposeless offense. You are running by the sideshows and not the main show. Most people come to church and get offended about who they greet them. You come to church and get offended about who didn't greet you. You didn't come for somebody to greet you. You came for Jesus to meet you. Yes. I don't care if the pastor doesn't even look at me. Just have to get Jesus to look at me. Then we are good. So, maturity is stopping majoring in minors. Right? We're going to start majoring in the majors, not in the minors. So, the Lord has brought you here this morning to this place because he's got something for you. He's ordered your place to this place today because he's got something he wants to release to you. And for some incredible reason, he thinks what he has for you today is here, not there. Some of you, when you're coming to church this morning, you are all like, did I go this way or not? So can I get you to connect with the purposes and the reasons why God brings you to this place? Usually, almost every most Sundays, I ask people, who came to church this morning believing for something? If you came to church believing for something, you've prepared your heart to engage. If you just came to church because it is Sunday, you've missed the point. I also take this opportunity to welcome anybody that is visiting us here for the first time.
We've got special friends over here from when I was really little. What year did you leave Wellington?
85.
I was six. I was six. I can still remember. Yeah, real special friends of mum and dad.
Huh? You haven't changed.
Yeah, I know. Neither of you. It's an honour to have you with us and your friends. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for being with us. Yes. And we thank God that he's ordered your steps to this place.
Yes. Yes.
Any other people that are visiting? Look at the statue, you can see your beautifulness. What's your name? Susan. All right, you got some friends here? What did they tell you when they invited you? Did they say, let's just go to church? Did they promise you anything awesome? No.
We said it's just going to enjoy you.
Sorry?
We said it's just going to enjoy you.
Yeah. What are you hoping for God to do for you today? Yeah? You are on the way to the island. What? Thailand. Okay, so what do you want God to do for you today on your way to Thailand? Huh? To receive from God. What would you like to receive? See, how I have to force people to get what they want? What would you want Him to give you? I'm just going to read a few verses. This might have helped some people. Acts chapter 1. Anybody with a Bible?
Yes.
People should start coming to church with Bible. Well, if you've got a Bible, and someone else doesn't have, but they want to look at it, you should do like this. And then if they do that, you should do like this. Well, you can share your Bible. We'll start from the beginning. Verse 1. In my former book, yeah, this is Dr. Luke, who had written to his friend Theophilus the book of Luke. That's what he's referring to. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. He's a man that had an encounter, and he came across what the Lord had done, and he took it upon himself to write to a friend, explaining to him about the ways of salvation. So he took it upon himself to write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. What did he give them? How many?
Many.
Right? Jesus Give them many, many convincing proofs that he was alive. What would be the purpose of doing that? So that there may be no doubt in any of them that Jesus was alive. It's kind of a good thing that he wants you to have a relationship with him where you are filled with faith and confidence that your God is God and your God is alive. That he would even provide proof. Not only once, but many, many, many convincing proofs. He appeared to them for over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. See, you have to remember that when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, they paid the guards to say the disciples had stolen his body. Anybody remember that? So the whole premise of that was to discredit his resurrection, was to sow seeds of doubt in the hearts of the people that the resurrection never happened, never took place. What you claim to have happened to you never happened, never took place. Jesus died, is buried. The disciples stole the body, never rose from the dead. And that was the whole idea of destroying the whole Christian faith foundation. That God would choose to do not only show up, speak it, preach it, but provide convincing, demonstrative proof. The awesome part is this is the season that the Father is inviting us to, where we just don't preach the gospel with persuasive words of wisdom, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So anybody that may be unsure would have a convincing proof within themselves beyond every reasonable doubt that God is alive. Amen. That Jesus is indeed risen. And this is why, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall will bow and every tongue shall confess. How can every knee bow to somebody who's dead? For over a period of 40 days, see, the first time he showed up, they didn't believe him either. They thought he was a ghost. There was the likes of Thomas. I will not believe until I poke my fingers on his nail and I poke his side where the spear was. Well, that sounds horrible, but God in his mercy, he didn't rebuke him. Well, if anything, he's inviting you to test him. What is there? Test and see that the Lord is good. And this is probably why he's led you to this place this morning. Because he wants to showcase his faithfulness in your life. He wants to showcase his goodness in your life. He wants to showcase his faithfulness in your children's and children's lives. He wants you to put him to the test. You have grandchildren? Yeah. Is there a particular one you're concerned about? No? Yes. What's that? Is that a girl?
Liam
is a boy. So he's brought you here for Liam today. That also excites me. Because I was looking at you for some reason, I'm not seeing you, I'm seeing your grandkids. So it says, test and see that the Lord is good. What is he saying is, I am faithful, I am trustworthy, I am just, I am good. But put me to the test so I can prove to you. Put me to the test so I can demonstrate to you. Put me to the test so I can show you. Because he knows. If he can prove himself to you, he's one of the devoted followers. If he can prove his love to you, he's one a daughter, he's one a son. Do the Liam now. Yes. Do you also have a granddaughter?
Because
you have a granddaughter.
Liam is a little boy.
He's a little boy.
Yes. He's 2 years old. He was born with some serious issues. And he has cerebral palsy. When he was born, I said I wanted to be a man of God. That was my prayer.
That's what you prayed. God hate that, and the devil wanted to steal that destiny.
He always wants to do that. But I pray that God, that Liam will become a man of God. I want him to be a very strong man of God. That's what I want more than anything else.
Can we pray for you as a point of contact, please, when I come to the front? You can come to the friends and support. Church, can you stand and stretch your hands to us? Father, thank you that you are faithful, Daniel. Father, thank you that you do not lie. You say that you're not a man that you should lie, or a son of man that you should change your mind. Father, thank you for this little man That even from the day of his birth, he was claimed for you and for your kingdom. And even as Grandpa, as a patriarch over the family, spoke those words and that call, Father, I stand with him and join with him, affirm his prayer and his declaration in the name of Jesus. Father, I take authority over every demonic assignment against Liam, the parents, and the grandparents in the name of Jesus. Father, I take authority over every spiritual bondage, every open door and gate that the enemy has used to come through and bring this affliction and this attack. Not even as I put my hands on the grandparents, I put my hands on the children, I put my hands on the grandchildren. Father, I command a retrieval of all three generations in the name of Jesus. If that sits with you where you're standing, say, I receive it. Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You do not miss a generation. You are the generation of grandpa, children, and grandchildren. Father, every medium, every power, anything the enemy has used to attach himself to this family, I command it broken. I command every medium, every power, every connection. And as I pull my head, I speak wholeness. I command the spirit of affliction that is upon Liam. Out of him. Leave him. Leave him. Leave him. Leave him. Leave him. Leave him. Run out. I command wholeness. 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 And for yourselves, do you have any health concerns? Have any health concerns? What is it? Trauma. Yeah. You see, God does not miss anybody. He's the God of the whole generation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Father is also setting you free today. So you know that what we prayed about your grandson is also going to happen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that affliction. I command that affliction. I command that bondage. I command that bondage in the name of Jesus. Be broken. Be set free. 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 Be set free.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. I command the spirit of trauma. I command the trauma, that pain that is attached to the trauma. It's completely gone. Completely free. Complete freedom. Complete freedom. Complete freedom. Amen. He loves you so much. And when you woke up, when you drove to this place, he had you on his heart. And I just disconnect you from anything that the enemy has used to oppress you, anything that the enemy has used to bring anxiety, anything that the enemy has used to bring worry. and you'll be completely set free in the name of Jesus. Amen. What's his name?
Stephen.
Father, thank you. Papa Steve, come on in here. Father, thank you for Stephen. I just rebuke that spirit of harassment that has been hanging over him. I command that devil be gone. Every addiction it's come with, out. And its sordidness and settledness in relationships, I command that thing just to let go. And Father, I command, you send your angels wherever Stephen is and whatever he's doing, and retrieve him. We retrieve his destiny. We retrieve his calling. We retrieve his marriage. We retrieve his relationships. We retrieve his purposes. And even as he's been a source of stress, let him be a source of joy. Even as he's been a source of anxiety and worry, let him be a source of comfort. Father, I command that you turn around that which the enemy meant for evil. You turn it out and you use it for your testimony and for your blessing and for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I just pray, let that desire, let that desire, let that desire, Father, let that desire, let that heart's desire be filled. Check it. Hey! Oh! And Father, just recall the promises over his life. The things that you promised him when he was a little boy and he's not seen them come to pass. Hey! There's a lot of things you had on your heart in your youth, and now you've given up because you feel time is gone. Like we don't see how that can happen. But the Lord is a redeemer. I redeem every promise. And even any wrong turn you've ever taken, I redeem that in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Jesus! Amen. Where are we? We're somewhere. So, Acts chapter 1. We are now on verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, and why is he eating with them? To prove to them he's not a ghost. It's a funny thing. You know what they called our Lord Jesus? That here comes a who? The drunkard and the glutton and his friend to the sinners. He likes to eat. He likes to eat. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat. With him. So he is eating with them. Anyway, that was just a side point that there is an outstanding invitation to eat with him. So one day, on one occasion, while I was eating with him, he gave them this command. What did he give them? He gave them this command. He gave them this instruction. Yeah? We've been talking about prophetic words and prophetic instructions. But the shortcut is usually what? Prophetic instruction. Prophetic word, you have to figure it out. Instruction, you just do it. And it's done. Anybody getting that? Yes. Are you people here?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm not feeling it. Let's stand and pray in the Spirit for a second. Raka sendiria kasheke teria ba 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 ba. Yeke sendiria kasheke teria kasoko toro ba 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 ba. Yeke sheke teria kasheke teria kasheko toro ba ba ba. Yeke sheke teria kasoko toro ba ba. Yeke sheke teria kasheke teria kasoko toro ba ba ba. Yeke sheke teria kasheke toro ba ba ba. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on one occasion, when I was eating with them, he gave this command. The thing about a command, it's not a suggestion. In our civilized Western culture, we're not very good at commands. Because we are all mates, we don't command each other. Well, sometimes our greatest heritage becomes our biggest can't think of the word. Or liability. So he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait, remain in Jerusalem What's the command?
Do not
leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do not depart from Jerusalem, but remain. Our version says. And this is one other place where Jesus uses the same word about remaining. Can anybody remember what other occasions? Huh? What did we say here?
Remain me and I in you.
Thank you. Give him a big cheer. Remain in me. I preached about this months ago. Anybody remember? Remain in me. Abide in me. Don't wander off. Don't go away. Don't go do your own thing. Because your productivity and fruitfulness depends upon your being in me. So, one place we were invited to remain is in him. Now, on this occasion, not only is he, they already have the command of remaining in him. And he now is telling them to remain in a place. Because in this greater instance, the blessings of God over their lives were in two places. The number one place the blessing of the Lord was in him. And the second place of the release of the promises of God on your lives was in a certain place. Your destiny, many a time, are tied down to a place. Where are your blessings many times tied down to? A place. What's that place? Whichever that place is that God has designated, has set you apart, that place that he's laid your feet to. That place that he's sent you to. That place that he's taken you to. Now think about the grandness of God. Did he know where they are at any given time in their lives?
Yes.
So if they left Jerusalem and went to Samaria, couldn't he send the Spirit to Samaria?
Yes.
Then why is he telling them to remain in one place if he can... DHL, the Spirit, wherever they are. You would have said, there are 120 of them. One is in Samaria, one is in Judea, one is in Capernaum, one is in Nazareth. The other one is from the group, is with the Ethiopians. Just do a simultaneous bam, 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 and they all get the blessing. Now, before we get into it, like I said, I just trying to help somebody. Because for most of us, we always seem to be amiss from our blessings. Because we're hardly ever in a place God has appointed for your breakthrough. Probably one of the most grievous things for me is you would have a service where God is come in power like we have and he delivers people from certain things. I mean, you look around, There's certain people that are not here. I don't know where people, wherever you people go when you're not here on Sunday. It's not about being here. Just make up your mind where you want to be. If you want to be at that other place, be there. If that's where the Lord has apportioned your breakthrough and your blessing, be there. Because if the Lord has apportioned your blessing and breathroom at that other place as you are here, when He's releasing it over there, you're missing it over here. But if He's apportioned your portion over here, you don't believe how many times the Lord will give me a word for somebody and I'll say, okay, I'll do it in an appropriate time. And when the appropriate time comes, I look around, they have already left. And then they come next week, Pastor, can you pray for me? Well, I just don't feel the mojo. Come again when I'm feeling the mojo. So what was the environment these men were in when they were taught to remain? Was that of fear? They just killed Jesus. And they saw me with Jesus. And there He is. He's flying the coop going to heaven. And He's telling me to stay here? No way! They're gonna kill me too. And if you were Peter, you already had little girls telling you, He was there too. Shut up, little girl. That's no name. Who's a babe? I think you're talking about Andrew, my brother. Not me, Tim. So the environment was that of fear, disbelief, because even the resurrection of Jesus was questionable, because they say He was stolen. So if they say the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus, what are the police doing? Looking for the thieves that stole His body. So what He's telling them to do is not one of the most comfortable invitation ever. So have you discovered why when they decided to stay, they were all hiding in the upper room? They're pretending to have a prayer meeting, but the truth, they were hiding. In the upper room. So they can have a good view of who's coming. Shut the door, we're not here. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, it's easy to be overwhelmed by what you're going through. It is easy to be overwhelmed by what you're experiencing, that you lose faith and you lose hope. What I want to bring across to us is, no matter how scary, how overwhelming the circumstances are, remain in Him. No matter how hopeless the circumstances look, don't lose hope. Remain in Him. It might be very scary, because the whole purpose of fear is that the enemy wants you to base your decision on fear. And fear is the enemy of faith. And the Bible tells you without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what have we been told? To leave our bodies like a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. Fear is the currency of the kingdom of darkness. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Anything and everything the devil has ever done to you is meant to steal your faith. It's meant to steal your conviction, your belief, and your confidence in God's ability to come through for you. And for some of us, our pressures are so overwhelming that a counter positive experience from the demonstrated love of the Holy Spirit can reverse the issue in us. It doesn't matter how much I tell you about the goodness of God, because our pain is far, the pain we've experienced is far greater than the good we've seen. So healing will come when we experience a surpassing level of goodness that is far greater than the badness we've experienced. And this is why God is saying, test me. So he can show you this goodness that surpasses the negative, that surpasses the pain, that surpasses the oppression. When his goodness becomes overwhelmingly abundant over you, the pain becomes negative. And this is why we cannot just preach the gospel, we gotta demonstrate the gospel. So the number one thing is, let us be anchored in him. Why does he say remain in me? Because giving away is a possibility. Drifting away is a possibility. The pressures of life are meant to sway you away from him. They are meant to blow you away from him. Hence he said, remain. Why does he say remain in me? Because he knows there are bound to be situations and circumstances that will seek to blow you away. There are bound to be circumstances and situations that would like to take you away. There are going to be floods in life which will seek to wash you away. Remember what he said to Peter. Peter, I pray for you because the devil desires to take you down. I was talking about Joshua last Sunday when the Lord says, be strong and courageous. Why? Because one day there's bound to be a situation that will make him lose courage. One day there's bound to be a situation that is going to make him feel weak. If it was not for Saul, God would not have said to him, be strong and courageous. Because there is a day, there is a moment, there are circumstances, there are situations that will make your courage to fail. Here's another thing. Those of you that have received prophetic words, the prophetic word you received was meant for the day of trouble. So you can have something to lean on when everything around you feels like quicksand. The words of encouragement, the prophetic words you got, were meant to be a solid ground you could stand on when everything around you seemed to be crumbling. It is not for you to say, that prophetic word I got such didn't even come to pass. It is to say, that prophetic word for this moment, so that when this moment comes, I'll have something to hang on to. I'll have a promise. I'll have something to stand on to. You see, the more something about remaining in Him. Eh? About remaining in Him. It doesn't matter what happens outside Him. Because you are anchored where? In Him. Why does it say remain in Him? Because He told you that in this world you have troubles and tribulation. But if you are in me, it doesn't matter. What will you have in that world, this world? Because you will have trouble and tribulation, what's the smart thing for you to do? So when you hear somebody whining about what happened to them, you ask them, where are you positioned? Did anybody get that?
Yeah.
When somebody's worried about this and that, what's the question? Because evidently from the fruit manifesting, I can see you are not in Him. You were somewhere else. Because in Him, He says, even when you walk through fire, I will be with you. Remember the last time somebody was in fire and He was with them? It was Shadmish and Shak. And Bailey. That Meshach and Bailey. There was the fire, but because He was with them, not even a strip of their hair was singed. Because when you were in Him, there might be a raging inferno out there, but you will be okay. And that's why I said, let not your hearts be troubled. What's the next statement? Come on, somebody, give me the whole scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's try this direction. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay, Mark, give me the one. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Trust in God, also in me. So, when there's trouble, loss of sleepless nights begin. When we put our confidence somewhere else. When we put our faith somewhere else. When we put our trust somewhere else. Why? Because whatever you put your trust in that is not Him will fail you. Wherever you put your trust in that is not Him will let you down. But if you put your trust in Him, He's a strong foundation. He is the solid rock on which you can stand, which is immovable and unshakable. Anybody get it? What else did he promise you? Peace I give to you. Why does he give you peace? Because outside there you have trouble. So, number one thing we gotta do is remain in him. The number two thing in this place is remain also where? In the place that is appointed for your blessing. Remain in the place that is appointed for your breakthrough. Remain in the place that is appointed for your healing. Remain in the place that is appointed for your salvation. Make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
You see, most of the troubles we find ourselves in is because we're in a wrong place. Remember the account of David. It says, in the season that kings go to war, David was standing at the roof of his house. What season is that? It's a season where kings go to war. David didn't go to war. He's sunbathing. Hey, nice view. What's that then? It's Bathsheba. It is one little event. I don't say I'll be correct if I say almost destroyed the kingdom. It actually destroyed the kingdom. One little thing. What if he had gone to war? He would never have been on the roof, and he would never be seeing bathing women, and he would never get to a place where the biggest disgrace of what his son did take place. Any sense to anybody? Remain in Jerusalem. There was a greater temptation to leave. There was a greater temptation to go. There was a greater temptation to hide. The awesome thing is, did he tell them which room or house to be at? Now, they could choose whichever house they would have loved to be within Jerusalem. Remain in him and in his kingdom, and you will experience his blessing. This is not about getting people to stay in a church. This is about God knowing what issues you have and what anointing his witness to break that. Does that make sense to anybody? Some of us need very good teaching, so he sends us to very good Bible teachers. Does that make sense? When we're in the right place, we connect with the blessings of God. I talked about Jacob when he had an encounter at Bethel. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Where did Abraham establish his altar when he left his people? At Bethel. Abraham established the altar at Bethel. When Jacob came to Bethel, he just connected with the existing covenant his grandfather had established already. He was in a place of blessing, promise. So, any thanks to anybody? Presumably, that rock that he picked up to use as a pillow would have been one of the rocks that Abraham had used to construct an altar. So he just connected with a promise in that covenant. Remember when he was coming back from his uncle and the angel of the Lord rested with him? Where was that? Same spot. So it's kind of a funny thing that God has a thing with places he establishes you. Shall we stand? So can I get you people to connect with what you came here for? It's wrong to come in the presence of God, who's abundantly full of everything, and go home empty-handed. Just stretch out your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman, and every person in here. Lord, I ask that you reach out to each one of them, look at their file, go through their database, and meet them accordingly. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you release your angels of deliverance now. You release your angels of freedom. And as I pray, some of you that could, you can sense the issues that you've been struggling with. You begin to see them evaporate and lift off you. I command every bondage, put your hands out. I command every bondage. I command every bondage. I command every bondage. I command every bondage. Generational bondages be broken. In the name of Jesus. I command every generational bondage to be broken. I command every generational bondage to be broken.